David Trainer is here. He's the president and founder of New Constructs, and he developed their methodology, which takes a look at securities and finds out where things are misleading. So that's where we're going. We're heading for trouble now in the danger zone. Welcome to the Danger Zone, everybody. We are pleased to be joined again today by David Trainer, the founder and president at New Constructs, where forensic accounting meets cash flow analysis, and you put it all together, and what you've got is a system that's very different from the way most people evaluate securities. And I'm not just talking most people like you and me as average investors. I'm talking about most people, including the analytical community, because at New Constructs, they dig in from the footnotes level. Everybody else basically starts at the top down. They want to look at the top line numbers, and once they do that, if they see something they like, they're thinking,
you are so good looking.
David and his crew, however, they ask a different question.
Is it possible I'm not as attractive as I think I am?
Yep. And when they dig in at the bottom, they often find that the picture is misleading. If it is misleading, it's inherently dangerous if it's misleading against you, or it could be attractive if it's misleading and hiding a great opportunity. If you want to find out more about how it works, go to newconstructs.com. They blog about their danger zone picks. You can get more information as well on Twitter at New Constructs. David Trainer, good to talk with you again.
Great to talk to you, Chuck. Thank you.
Who's in the danger zone this week?
Hartford Growth Opportunities Fund.
Danger, danger.
The Hartford Growth Opportunities Fund, ticker symbol HGOAX. And, you know, here we are talking about surface level, and I talk about how your research is different. So I'm going to go as about surface level as I can. There is a very popular mutual fund ratings firm. It's Morningstar, and Morningstar likes this fund. So some of members of my audience are going to go, well, wait, it's a four-star fund. If it's a four-star fund, how bad could it be? Well, if you're putting it in the danger zone, presumably pretty bad. So, David, how bad could it be?
Yeah, Morningstar gives this fund four stars for most of its share classes. A couple get a three-star rating. And it's not just Morningstar, it's Zacks. All eight classes of this fund get a buy rating from Zacks. It gets a very unattractive rating from us, which is equivalent to a sell or a one-star rating. And that's because the fund allocates to bad stocks. And when we look at the process of these managers, it's a poor process. You know, what we have here in this fund is all the things we say that are bad about any one individual stock. But this fund is just a whole bunch of those stocks, or bad stocks. And what really makes our fund ratings, I think, incrementally valuable to your audience is that when you're looking at a stock, it's like, okay, yeah, well, this stock's a bad stock, you know, and there maybe there's other good stocks out there. But with a fund, you have a very clear benchmark or alternative. And a lot of times these benchmarks, in this case, we're going to look at the iShares Trust Core S&P U.S. Growth ETF as a benchmark. You have something that's way less expensive already. And so at the end of the day, you know, if you're not getting incremental value add from the additional fees for active manage from Hartford Growth Opportunities Fund, it's a no-brainer. Put it into IUSG instead. And that's where we really like to draw a distinction. Look, you're paying extra money for somebody to put you into stocks in a fund format, when you could pay a lot less for better stocks. And that makes, I think, our fund ratings even incrementally more valuable, because it's not just that, hey, this is a bad stock, it's a bad group of stocks, and you're paying extra for that.
That raises an issue, because if you look at this fund, I mean, this is a fund that's, it's way up this year. It's up 30% this year, and it's not necessarily a bad performer, but it is a bit prone to feast and famine. In the last couple of years, date back to like 2011, 2010, you've had a couple years where it's right near the top of its peer group, and you've had a couple years where it's damn close to the bottom of the peer group. So here you are paying active management. You certainly are not expecting the bottom of the peer group and that evening out over time. So is this a case where, you know, normally when we're looking at stocks, we say we have a tough time finding the catalyst, right? You know that something looks bad. You know that it's got the potential for trouble, but you can't tell me, oh, Chuck, this is what's going to cause it. We're going off the deep end. In this case, the basics are you own enough bad stocks. At some point, catalyst or no, you're going to pay for it. And that's what shows up in the feast or famine performance?
Yeah, that's exactly right. These guys are betting on risky, popular stocks. You know, and when you look at their methodology, I mean, to me, I'm saying, you know, this is just a front for basically we're momentum chasers. And in markets like this, you know, long in the tooth, bull markets, the momentum stocks are where the money is going because the value stocks have sort of run out of steam. And let's face it, we live in a world that's mostly driven by momentum stocks. You know, I feel like the self-directed investors are in many ways the tail wagging the dog. Institutional investors, as opposed to sort of being a source of independent estimates of value for the efficient market hypothesis, right, are really just focused on taking advantage of self-directed investors. I think you see the example of that, like no more obvious kind of in the private market and public market relationship these days, right? Like there's so much money in private equity that they bid up these unicorns to absurd levels. The private equity guys can't get the exit they want because the potential buyers of a company like a Betterment or some of these wealth front, these like, for example, robo-advisors have gotten these absurd valuations that TD Ameritrade and Schwab have just said, are you kidding me? I can build it for a tenth, a 20th of that cost. And so the private guys have only one choice, dump it on the public market. Public market investors have been eating this stuff up. So what I'm saying is that we are in a very strong, momentum-driven market these days. That momentum is only as good until the music stops. I can't tell you when it's going to stop, but if it does, you're going to get crushed. And all I'm saying is don't pay these managers to take that excessive risk unless that's the kind of investor you want to be. You want to be a speculator. You want to play market momentum. More power to you. If you want to be an investor and understand sort of how to get rich slowly and comfortably and with less, a lot less volatility and a lot more assuredly, then I think you want to listen to what we're saying.
Normally, when we're talking about stocks, we say, you know, here's how out of whack the valuation is or anything else. Is there any way that you can sort of quantify that and let folks know? Because again, somebody who's in this fund, and it's Hartford Growth Opportunities, whichever share class they're doing, somebody who's in this fund is looking at a fund that has worked well for them. Is there any way that you can help them understand why this is so out of whack that, you know, says, say, this is what we'd expect, or this is what we'd expect from the index and things like that?
Well, I can give you an example of a particular stock that they do hold that has significant downside, Workday. So to justify, and you know, this is the report has got a great chart, my favorite chart. I always tell, ask Kyle and Sam, say, hey, I want to see the reported numbers going up and to the right on the chart and the economic numbers going down and to the right. You know, so it's an X. And we see that in spades with Workday, nowhere near profitability, getting less and less profitable. And potentially an example of a company that's gone public that needs to get bought out in order to ever justify its valuation. That's the hope. But we see 78% downside in Workday, and that still assumes that the company can achieve a 10% profit margin and grow revenues by 20% compounded annually for a decade. Currently, their margins are negative 16%, you know, and so if they can do the 10% margin and grow revenues by 20% compounded annually for a decade, they're worth $47. That's 78% below the $214 per share they are today. That's one of the stocks that Hartford Growth Opportunities Fund is invested in. That gives you a sense of how much risk could be in the overall fund as well.
Yeah, it does. And again, it's a fund that, you know, kind of is what we say about stocks often when we're talking with David Trainer. At the surface level, if you're just doing the surface measures, it's going to look one way, but it looks a different way to David Trainer. It is Hartford Growth Opportunities Fund. The A shares are HGOAX, and there is much more information about it available for you at the newconstructs.com website, where they blog about their danger zone picks. David Trainer, thanks as always for joining us.
My pleasure, Chuck. Thank you.
That's David Trainer, everybody. He is the founder and president at New Constructs. Check out their website, newconstructs.com. Follow them on Twitter. They're at New Constructs. We're heading for home on the Monday, July 22nd edition of Money Life. Up next, I'll be talking with Roger Conrad from Conrad's Utility Investor. It's the Market Call after this message.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.